gente, welcome to another episode of El ADN Podcast, where every week we sit down with the movers and shakers of our culture for an honest and intimate conversation about their career journey, including all the challenges and failures they've overcome to reach their current success. I'm your host, Victoria Leandra. Today, we're learning from Ariana Davis, the editorial director of Today Digital. Yes, that Today show. We met years ago when she was leading Oprah Daily as their senior director of editorial and strategy. Previously, Ariana had worked at Refinery29 and US Weekly. She's also the author of What Will Frida Do? A Guide to Living Boldly, inspired by the life of the one and only Frida Kahlo.
Thank you for having me. You know, I'm a big fan. I'm a Victoria fan. I'm an Adriana fan. I just love everything that you're doing. And I'm excited to be back. Because I did like Instagram Live with you, but this is my first appearance on the podcast.
Yes. So for those OG listeners, you will remember that Ariana appeared on El ADN, but on the Instagram Live version. So this is truly taking it back to the original days. Bueno, when you look at your career, you can truly see that anything is possible. What do you think you did differently to stand out in all the different places that you've been invited in?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think that, you know, I think when I first started out in this industry, I was definitely a lot more shy. I was a little more caída. Like, I think I was just more, I wasn't as confident, right? And I think that I still looked at, you know, the fact that I'm a minority, I'm a Black woman, I'm Puerto Rican, like just knowing that I was always going to be different in all the spaces that I was in, on top of just general insecurities and my personality and being more shy. I think I was always more kind of aware of that and a little bit more shy and awkward. But I started my career as an intern and then later an assistant at Oprah Magazine. And I really feel like it was a situation where as I was working there and working on the content and like working with this magazine that was all about helping women live their best life, I also kind of by osmosis learned a lot of the lessons that were in the magazine, a lot of the stories that the writers would tell, and also a lot of the stories from Oprah herself. And a really big theme and a big thing that was always kind of talked a lot about in the magazine and from Oprah was just being your authentic self and always bringing your true self to everything that you do. And I just feel like over time, like that messaging kind of just seeped in and I started to really recognize the value and like being exactly who you are, whether it's, you know, with your friends and your family or it's in the workplace. Of course, anytime you start a new job or you're just starting out, like there are certain boxes that you need to check off. You have to work your way up. You can't necessarily go in and immediately be exactly yourself and, you know, without keeping in mind professionalism and all those other things. Code switching is always going to be a thing. But I think over time, I really started to realize, like, you know, maybe I can be like my, you know, chatty, bubbly self at work. Maybe I can, you know, bring up pop culture in a meeting. Maybe I can admit in a meeting that I have no idea who Bruce Springsteen is. But like, you know, I will never forget being in a meeting. And at this point, I was an editor and I covered a lot of culture at the magazine. And an editor said to me something about, you know, we should do something on the new Bruce Springsteen, whatever the case. And I was like, I'll be honest, I don't know any Bruce Springsteen songs. I don't know anything about him. And she was like, well, how can you be a culture editor if you don't know, like, you know, this American icon, like just, you know, very, you know, bitchy, if I can say that on the podcast. I was raised on like Celia Cruz. I was raised on Motown. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I don't know that. And I was like, and also I think that we need to like remember that not everybody like is going to have the same background. Not everyone who reads the magazine is like going to come from the same kind of a background. And, you know, I remember I was like nervous as I was speaking that I was even saying it, but it just kind of came out of me. And I think that the old me and the earlier me would have been like, oh yeah, Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, I know him. Like totally would have just played along. But I was like, no, like, I think that this is an opportunity for me to lean into who I am and to also, you know, maybe change the space that I'm in ways. And so it was little things like that over the years that I think helped me to be more confident in leaning into who I am and being authentic and not being afraid to speak up and embrace what makes me different from everyone else in the workplace.
You said so many gems within the first, like, what?
Sorry, that was the long 2 minutes. That was a long answer. I'm sorry. I just went on a whole tangent.
Here for it. I am here for it. I think it's interesting that you said that because I had a similar instance when I was working at Vice. I don't remember the name of the actress. That's how little I knew of her, but I said the same thing. We had the opportunity to interview them and I said, well, I don't know who this person is. And then I went on to say, well, but do you know all of these other people that I grew up with? And they're like huge and major mainstream stars, and they didn't know. So I think at the end of the day, we can all learn from each other. And it takes a very mature person, especially a very mature culture editor, to recognize that. So in any case, you were at the right place at the right time. What are some of the practices or things that you've done to sort of come more into the person that you are and feel more comfortable with who you are and just like accept yourself and become a little bit more confident?
I think it's a few things. I definitely think there's some fake it till you make it in there. So I think that there's been a lot of times where I feel like I've been given opportunities, or I find myself in a room with very important people who don't look like me, or I just kind of subconsciously, even just like with body language, I'm just like, okay, let me just like sit up straight and act like I belong here and just try to like, maybe if my body says that I belong here, then my mind will like follow suit.
You mentioned Refinery 29 and of course you were surrounded by women at that role, but I feel like you've always been surrounded by women at the other places that you've worked at as well, especially inspiring and very powerful women like Oprah and Gayle Kinn. Can you tell me maybe like a piece of advice that someone taught you?
Oh, yes. My favorite lesson, I think about this at least once a day, came from, you mentioned Gayle. So Gayle is the editor at large at Oprah Magazine. And when she was my first boss, I was her assistant for like 4 years. And I always remember this. Literally earlier today, I had a scenario where this lesson came in handy. I remember she was interviewing Mariah Carey for like some big live interview. And I was at the venue ahead of her. And I was waiting for her to, we were waiting for her to arrive, and she was running late. She was stuck in traffic. And like Mariah's publicist, everyone around me was just like, where's Gayle? What's happening? Where's she? When's she gonna get here? And they're like, you know, everyone's like, call her. What's going on? And so everyone is just like freaking out because it was a live interview. And I think like it was like getting down to the wire. So I call Gayle and I'm like also a little bit freaking out. I'm just like, Gayle, where are you? Like everyone's freaking out. Like what's going on? And she was like, Ariana, I'm in traffic. She's like, I'm stuck in traffic and there's nothing we can do about it. And I'm going to get there as soon as I can. But everyone around you is freaking out. And that doesn't mean that you have to freak out. Just because everyone around you is spiraling doesn't mean that you have to spiral. All you can do is just stay calm and do whatever you can to make the situation better and just, you know, move on. And that in that moment just was like such a light bulb moment, because I was like, I definitely think I'm someone who I absorb the energy of the people around me. So if everyone else is freaking out, you automatically start freaking out, right? And you're just like, oh my God, where is Gayle? What's traffic? What's going to happen? And you know, that energy just gets everyone agitated. But when she said that, I was like, you know what? She's right. Like, well, even me calling her, trying to rush her here when she's stuck in traffic, it's like, we can't move the cars, right? So whenever I find myself starting to react off the energy of everyone else around me freaking out, I literally hear that lesson from Gayle in my mind. And it's something that's really helped me through my career to kind of just like stay calm under pressure and just remember that like sometimes you don't have control over every situation. All you can do is just try to stay calm and do the best work that you can.
I'm sure that in the past, you may have looked at your present now and maybe none of it was something that you would have ever envisioned. Did you ever think you would be in the rooms that you are in now? And if not, how did you get past the limiting beliefs that maybe you once had?
I definitely didn't think I would be in the rooms. I mean, I don't know, maybe did I? Like now that you're asking me, I think yes and no. I think that, I mean, there's so much about my career that I never envisioned. My goal was that I wanted to be editor-in-chief of a magazine. But like in my mind, that was like, I would be like 60 and it would be like, you know, it would take me a million years to get there. And, you know, I was coming of age in the industry in a time when it was still a little bit more old school. Like when I graduated college, I think Twitter had just started to become a thing. Like being a digital director or an editorial director of a website was not even close to being a job. It was still very much print, even though the internet was really starting to bubble up in media. So I think a lot of the things that I've gotten to do, I think especially as I was mentioning, doing work on camera and now like getting to lead segments on the Today Show in my current job, or interviewing, you know, Hillary Clinton or some of the big moments that have happened. But also, to your point, being in meetings with, you know, as I said, people who don't look like me, who have titles like vice president of such and such and the president of global blah, blah, blah. And like, there are definitely times where I'm like, how did I end up here? How did this happen? So yeah, I think how I've gotten it, honestly, like getting past those limited beliefs, I'm really blessed to have a great support system who is always reminding me, like, you know, of my worth and just really reinforcing and affirming for me what I'm good at and why I deserve to be in the places that I am. And I think one amazing thing that I have is I have a really great network of girlfriends and also, you know, colleagues that I've worked with who have become real friends in real life, who, you know, they're the opposite of that stereotype that like women are always trying to bring each other down, or that, you know, it's so competitive in this business. Like, there's a lot of people that I've met like yourself who, like, we just connect and if we have opportunities, we see it for each other, we put each other up for different things. And I think that that has really made such a difference for me in my career, and just like people putting in a good word for me, or making me feel like, hey, if this person recommended me for this, or this person thought of me for this, like maybe I am, you know, maybe I would be good at this job, or maybe I would be the right fit for this. So I think in addition to all the things of like getting over imposter syndrome, you know, faking it till you make it, all those things, when you have a support system and you have people around you who are believing in you, I feel like you have to also believe in yourself. And if they're not putting limiting beliefs on you, then why should you put it on yourself?
I love that. And I love that you talked about a support system. Can you walk me a little bit through what do you think has made you successful when it comes to female relationships? We've talked about this in the podcast before, and not everyone has had success with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I've definitely had some not great female relationships, I think, in general, and in when it comes to work and just career. But I think that for me, I try to remember, you know, it can be really hard, I think, especially in the social media era. I think a lot of times, if you see someone else winning or you see someone else doing well, I think that a lot of people will kind of start to feel jealous, or they, you know, aren't happy for that person, even if it's subconscious. It might not even be something that you're, you know, purposefully trying to do. But I think that it can be a struggle to sometimes feel happy for someone if you're not happy for yourself. But that's actually another lesson that I learned from Oprah and Gail and their friendship. Gail would say that all the time, because everyone would always, you know, the first thing that most people ask Gail, despite the fact that she's an award-winning journalist, she's an editor at large of a magazine, she, you know, has a family of her own, you know, she's super successful in her own right. But of course, everyone knows her as Oprah's best friend. And, you know, that's like the number one question she gets asked in interviews is like, does that ever get old? Or are you ever jealous of Oprah? And she always says, why would I be, that's my best friend. Like she is a light and I just step into her light. I don't try to dim it. And that's something that I also really learned from the two of them and their dynamic is like, even when, you know, Oprah was doing a million things and it was like, she's just being called Gail's just her best friend. She was the first in the first row cheering her on. She was always like really supportive and always celebrating her. And so that was another lesson I think I learned in adulthood when it came to my friendships is like, there have been times when, you know, I'm having the worst time at work, or I'm dying to quit my job, or I'm like, you know, going through a breakup and this friend is in love, or this friend just got a new job promotion. And I'm just like, man, it's very easy to be like, I wish that was me, or like, man, this kind of sucks. And it can be harder to, I think, muster up that like happiness for your friends. But I just try my best no matter what. I just try to be a cheerleader and be as supportive as possible. And my friends are the same to me. And it's like, no matter what we're each going through, you know, it's just having that empathy and just trying to celebrate and cheer each other on, whether it's your colleagues or your friends. I think that that really goes a long way. And, you know, I think people realize and appreciate that support when they're like, oh, like this, she was really there for me even when she was going through XYZ. And like, now that she's here, I want to support her too.
I see your book behind you. That's your first book, What Would Frida Do? Talk to me a little bit about how that opportunity came to be and what did you do to start writing the book?
Talk about imposter syndrome. Since I was a kid, I always knew I wanted to be a writer and always wanted to write a book. But again, it was one of those things where I was like, maybe one day when I'm like old and accomplished and I'm like good enough to write a book. But this book really fell in my lap and I really feel like it was God and maybe Frida herself, who knows? But I basically had just started at Oprah for the second time around. I started my career there. I left. I also worked at Us Weekly and Refinery 29, as I mentioned. And then I came back to Oprah in 2018 to launch the magazine's website, because they had never had a website. So I kind of brought my digital and Oprah magazine experience together. And it was a big job. I was like super crazy busy and launching a website, hiring a team. And then I get an email from an agent that, she was working with Hachette Books, and they were interested in publishing something about Frida Kahlo for this kind of new generation that maybe isn't as familiar with her story, but is still obviously posting her everywhere on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. And they were asking around looking for a writer, and a former colleague of mine at Refinery was like, oh, you have to talk to Ariana Davis. She's obsessed with Frida. So I was like, love that. You're legit a Frida fan. It's like people on the streets know you as like being a Frida. So yeah, she reached out to me and she was like, I wanted to see if you were interested. I would love to talk to you more about this. And like, it literally was out of the sky. And, this was a moment of like imposter syndrome, meaning like, can I write a book? Can I write a book about the iconic Frida Kahlo? What would I bring to the table? But then it was also like, do I even have the time to do this? Like, how could I, how would I even make this work? I was already working like crazy hours, but the more I thought about it, the more I was like, how could I turn down an opportunity like this? Like, there's no way. I've always wanted to write a book. I love Frida. I'm like, okay, it just literally was like, that was kind of how the concept came together, because I started to think about, if I were to write this book, what could I do that would be different than every other biography that's been written about her, or the Frida movie starring Salma Hayek? Like, what would my contribution be to her legacy? And as someone who's inspired by her, I was just like, what would Frida do? Like, what, maybe this is a guide to like inspiring people to live as boldly as she did. And so for me, it was like, all right, well, like, what would Frida do? She would say yes to writing this book. So yeah, that's kind of how the whole journey started. And then from there, it was kind of just like, a lot of really late nights writing, a lot of like weekends, and just trying to make it work with my day job. I took a week off from work to go to Mexico City and just like write, work on researching and writing and soaking in all the essence of Frida and going to that awesome school. And that was really great. So yeah, that was, it really fell into my lap, but it changed my life in so many ways.
Who we end up becoming in our career has to do with the opportunities that we say yes and no to. So how do you balance the two?
That's a great question. Everyone says trust your gut instinct, but like sometimes it can be a little murky. Like sometimes you're like, is that my gut, or is that like my ego, or is that like uncertainty, or is that impossible?
All of it.
Right. It's like, it could be all of it. So I think it's like, yes, some of it is instincts, but a lot of time, I think for me, the biggest thing is like, I usually like, if I get an email or if I get a message or someone reaches out to me about something, I really just try to give it some time, and I'll like just sleep on it and just like wait until the next day. And if it's something that I'm still thinking about or I'm excited about, I think for me that the sign of something that I'm really excited about or that I really want to work on is like, if I'm in the shower or if I'm on a long walk and I find myself jotting down some notes or some ideas, I'm like, okay, this is something I really want to do. Like, this is something that, excites me. If it's something that, I kind of forget about, and then like, I'm like, and then someone follows up or they're like, hey, were you so interested? And I'm not really thinking about it, or it's not like consuming my thoughts, then I'm like, okay, this is not something that I'm like super passionate about. Yeah. I think that that's kind of there's been a lot of, job opportunities or like jobs that I've been in the running for or interviewing for over the years, where that's kind of the main thing where I'm like, is this something that I would really want to do? What could I imagine myself in this role? Is this something that I would actually be excited waking up for in the morning, or like something that I would sometimes, maybe even though it's not best for work-life balance, but like on a Saturday, like I would want to hop online just because I just love it that much. So I think that passion factor is like, if that's there, that to me is kind of my signal of whether something is something that would really fulfill me and make me want to do it.
I want to share it because I feel like a lot of people may resonate with it too. And it's when opportunities don't happen, right? When maybe you're initially reached out and then it doesn't end up working in your favor. Someone was giving me an opportunity and it was sort of like last minute and whatnot, but I am not a religious person, but I am a spiritual person. So I remember I said, I was torn between saying yes or no for many reasons. And I think we left the conversation at night being like, oh, let's check back in the morning. And then this morning when I woke up, the first thing that I was a little bit like worried about the whole thing. And when I woke up, I said, literally, I said this in my head. I said, I just had a little chit chat with God and I said, God, is this, if this opportunity is meant for me, put it in my to-do list, right? Put it in my agenda for today. If it's not meant for me, and if this is not something that you want for my path, or that it's going to contribute in any way on my path, just take it away. And that's it. I let it go in a way, because I do trust the universe or a higher power, you know, however you want to call it, that whatever's meant to be will be. Lo que está para ti, está para ti. So in a way, it's also like, apart from the fact that you see the opportunities for what they are and for what they can bring for you in the future, you can also sort of tap into your spiritual self and just say, like, if it's meant for me, it will be. And if not, something better will come along the way.
I could not agree more. I think the art of letting go is also so important, because it's like, I think we tend to, you know, you get, I think that applies to relationships, friendships, work. Like, I think everything in your life, you know, I think sometimes we try to hold on to things longer than we should, or longer than is meant for us. And I think if we think like, oh, but I really, really want this thing, but sometimes what you want is not what's actually for you. So I think it's obviously easier said than done, but I think that the moment you can actually let go and just try to embrace fate, whatever spiritual beliefs you have, if you do at a minimum believe that like what's meant to be will be, then, you know, if you just try to like let go of that stress and just, you know, if you've done everything you can and everything in your power to make the situation right, after that, all you can do is let it go and move on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You are writing a second book now, and I know that you already took a solo trip to the Catskills and all that good stuff to sort of like reconnect. You put your phone on airplane mode. Talk to me a little bit more about that experience and what sort of it taught you about yourself and about reconnecting with your creativity.
Ooh, I need another one of those right now. Let me tell you, I'll be honest. I've been working on, my first love is fiction. I've always wanted to write a novel. I'm a big bookworm. I read all the time. And that's always been the real big dream for me, is that like, I just want to write a novel. I want to be like a New York Times bestseller of like, just like a story that's out of my brain that I completely made up and turned into a book and that people will get lost in. So yeah, I've been working on one. And I think that I was putting a lot of pressure on myself because I had written a book and I was like, okay, like now's the time. I'm going to like work on this novel. And I would say I'm like probably like maybe 75% done on the first draft of it. But the final 25% has been a struggle, just because I started a new job in November. And again, I think I put a lot of pressure on myself, where sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I haven't been doing anything for my book. But I've also been trying to our conversation, just trying to let go a little bit and just realize like, I believe a lot in the seasons, and there are different seasons in our life for different things. And so I feel like right now I'm in a season of like, I'm meant to be really focused on my day job at today and really just like leaning into this and loving it and enjoying it and like just really making the most of this moment right now. And there will be seasons where things are maybe a little bit slower and I have a little bit more creative energy to work on the book. Yeah, I try to embrace that. And then when I have the time to like, you know, take a break and take a beat to just have time for me in writing, I try to take that. I had some time off between when I left Oprah Mag this last time, and then I was starting the new job, but today I had about 2 weeks off in between. So that was when I took myself on the writing retreat you mentioned. I spent a couple of days in the Catskills, literally just me and my dog and my phone on airplane for most of the day. And that was everything. It was just like connecting with nature. I feel like I'm my most creative and my most in tune with like my writing and creative self when I'm not plugged into the internet and all the things, and I'm not trying to multitask and do a lot of things. So that was a really magical time, similar to when I went to Mexico City to write the Frida book. Like just being able to have that change of scenery and not be on my phone and not have a million voices around. I think that with the next, I'm going away for my birthday. I'm going to DR in August. Ooh. And I am hoping that while I'm there, I'll be able to, in addition to just relaxing and turning my brain off, I also want to try to squeeze in a little bit of writing time while I'm there too.
Yeah, that's exciting. Do you ever procrastinate? Do you ever, are you ever like not productive?
Oh my God, all the time. I'm a very big procrastinator, unfortunately. I remember that there was a writer I worked with at Oprah who I really admired. I remember she was like, a writer's house is never more clean than when they are working on something, which is basically like, you will do everything. You will, like all the things that you don't normally want to do, you will clean your house. You will like, you know, organize that random cabinet. You will do all the things just to avoid writing sometimes, or avoid like whatever deadline you're on. So I'm definitely guilty of that. I think that, but in a way, sometimes it also ends up working out, because I think sometimes I do my best work when I'm like on a deadline or I'm under pressure. So it doesn't always work out that way, but there are some times where it's like, okay, I can't mess around anymore. Like, this is due tomorrow. And then it's kind of like, okay, got to grind it out. So I definitely am guilty of procrastinating sometimes, but I think for the most part, when I'm really excited about something or passionate about it and I really want to get it done, when those just like moments of creative inspiration come over me, I try my best to just be like, oh, okay, I'm in the mood to write. I'm going to just like write something right now. So that I don't lose that, because then there are the times when I'm not motivated at all and I am procrastinating and I'm just like, oh, I don't want to write, or I don't want to edit, or I don't want to do this thing for work. But there are many times when I am spending way too many hours watching Real Housewives instead of doing what I'm supposed to do.
or petting Leo, just snuggling with him.
Yeah.
Has there been any mistakes that you've made along the way, and how did you learn from those?
The biggest lesson that I've learned is, I also learned this, I think, from being an assistant, was that I think my go-to used to be, if I messed something up or I made a mistake or I dropped the ball on something, I would start kind of spinning and trying to figure out like, okay, how can I like, you know, cover my ass here and like make it seem like I didn't mess up that bad, or like blame it on someone else, or like, you know, how do I, but I remember, you know, at one point when I was assisting Gail, I think I had messed up on something and I just was like, I messed up and I'm sorry. Like, I just admitted, like, you know, I made a mistake. And she was just like, okay. She's like, that's the best thing that you can say, that you can do. Like, just next time, like, you know, now you know better. And it was a relief to kind of just be like, you know, and that once I said like I messed up, she was just like, okay. Like, it's like, I think that people respect you just admitting when you're wrong and admitting when you make a mistake, versus like trying to be like, well, this person did this and then what happened was, and then like, it's like, I think if you, you know, we do make mistakes, whether it's at work or relationships or whatever. And I think that just taking accountability and, you know, just realizing that like, I'm not perfect and, you know, things are going to go wrong, and admitting that, I think goes a long way.
Is there something you haven't done yet that you want to do?
I love this question. I think for me, I'm a big pop culture nerd. I love TV and movies. So I think that I would love to like get into that world eventually when it comes to writing. I've been like more in the digital media world, and I've done a book and I'm working on a novel, but I'm like, one day I would love to like write a TV show or a movie. And
oh my God, I appreciate you saying that so much, because I feel like a lot of times each guest has mentioned something that they want to do in the future, and I can just tell that they're going to achieve it, and it's just like, it's gonna be so beautiful in the future when they come back and listen and they're like, I said this in July 2022. So I'm excited. If you could tell your future self one thing, what would that be?
My future self, oh wow, I think it would be to just stay grateful and stay grounded. I think that, you know, the bigger up the ladder of like just like my career and accomplishments that I get, I never want to forget to be grateful. I never want to forget, you know, that I was once that little bookworm who was super shy and unsure of herself, and, you know, is slowly just like getting to accomplish all these things that she barely could ever dream of. And I hope that I will always remain grateful and always remember, you know, that it wasn't always like this, and that, you know, there are hard times, because I know that I'm gonna, you know, continue to be successful, God willing. And I want to just always remember that, you know, to be grateful for every single day, and remember that like every day is a promise. So try to stay present and be in the moment.
Beyond your work, how do you want to be remembered?
I think I want to be remembered as a kind and positive person. I think that, you know, I'm someone, I think in like karma, and that you get what you give. And I try my best to just be kind and nice to people, and to make people, you know, there's that saying that like people remember how you treat them. It's not about what you do or you say, but it's like how you made them feel. And so I think that I try my best, and I would want to be remembered for that, more so than like the things on a resume or the things on a LinkedIn. But it's just about the fact that, like, you know, I hope people will always remember that I am, you know, a kind-hearted person, and someone who was always doing her best to uplift other people.
And you have been to me, so thank you for that, Ariana.
Thank you, Victoria. You know, I'm a big fan of the podcast and everything you're doing, and it's an honor to have been on. And this was such a great conversation. I'm honored to have been a part of it. Thanks so much.
Here are my top takeaways from our conversation. Number one, sometimes what you want may not actually be for you. It's okay to let it go. Number two, networking is simply cultivating real relationships with people. It shouldn't be transactional. And number three, you'll go much further when you showcase your personality and likes in the workplace. Thank you so much for listening. Gracias, mi gente. Be sure to follow, subscribe, and leave us a review. That's so helpful and exciting to us. If you learned something from this episode, share it with a friend. I'm sure they'll enjoy it as well. We drop new episodes every single Monday morning, but you can always find us on Instagram at @eladnpodcast. And before you leave, we want to hear your takeaways from today's guest. Share with us via Instagram stories and don't forget to tag @eladnpodcast and Victoria Leandra for a regram. See you next week. Hasta la próxima, familia.